Hello, everyone. This is the first time I've ever spoken in an Anglican church. I feel quite privileged. When I became a Christian at the age of 11, I never thought I would enter an Anglican church, let alone preach in one, but there you go. We're looking today at the Kingdom Vision for Rest, and it's a really, really important time of the year because this is the time when we start to think about, you know, kicking off our shoes and maybe not going into work. We've got children at home. You might be going on a holiday and stuff. But I really think that what we need to be able to do is understand what rest is in terms of who we are in Christ. And that is a really important something that we need to be able to do. So I want you just to think for a moment or two about what you think rest is. Have a little think about what you think it is. You might be thinking rest is sleep, so yay for that. I think rest is sleep, so have a good long sleep, have a lie-in on a Saturday morning. My husband doesn't get that, up at 6, no matter what time of the year, but you know. Some of you might be thinking, oh, it's just chillaxing in front of the telly, watching something a bit mind-numbing and just, you know, being not thinking about work. Some of you might think, oh, it's doing a bit of gardening because I'm not actually thinking about doing the job if I'm doing the gardening. My Alan plays Crown Green Bowling and, you know, that's his way of resting and relaxing. But there's lots and lots of different ways that we look at the world, and there's lots of different ways that we look at what rest means to us. And I felt that we need to really unpack that in terms of why we need rest and what type of rest that we need, okay? So I looked up to see what would happen if you didn't get enough sleep, for example. And I found that it says that it can have a detrimental impact to your physical well-being in terms of your health. So if you're not a good sleeper, you're more likely to have sort of cardiovascular issues. You're more likely to get type 2 diabetes. You're more likely to suffer from depression. And that, I was a bit shocked because I thought, yeah, it's just sleep, surely. But no, it says these are physical effects of not sleeping and not keeping our bodies healthy the way that we should. I looked as well a bit that it wasn't just the fact that it affects our physical well-being. It affects our emotional, it affects us emotionally too. If we are tired, we tend to be a little bit irritable. And how does that look when you're at work and you're professing to be a Christian and you're really snapping at people because you're just so worked and so busy, you just don't rest enough and you're flinging around like a mad thing? That's probably quite like me, but you know. We can get quite irritable with our families when children don't sleep. You know, I had one daughter and I have several grandchildren, and when they don't sleep, nobody in the house sleeps. So everybody gets a bit sort of with each other, don't we? And we have to be thinking about these things in order to figure out what it is, the purpose of rest. Well, I believe the Bible tells us there are two perspectives. There's more than that, but we're going to look at two perspectives of rest from the Bible. The first one's going to be, we're looking at what we mean by physical rest. And the second one we're going to look at is what we mean by spiritual rest. So we're going to have a little look at unpacking this. So in Genesis, this is the first reference it tells us about rest. And I'm going to read from the Message Bible. It says this in Genesis 2:2. Jennifer, that's my daughter. That's shocking, isn't it? Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. And it says, by the seventh day, God had finished his work. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy. Because on that day, he rested from work all the creating God had done. So, that thought, yes, that tells us, yes, God rested. So, and I was wondering about this, and I remember thinking as a child that God had to have a rest because he'd been so busy making the world, and so he needed to have a little bit of a space, look at what he created, get a little bit of energy to do some more creating or whatever. And I had a very sort of simplistic view about that. I took it quite at face value. But The Bible tells us this at the very, very start of creation. God told us we needed to rest. And I don't think for a minute that's because God was overwhelmed by what was going on in the world. I don't for a minute believe that he actually needed to rest, because he didn't. He's God. God is eternal. God is forever. He is a master of rest. So it wasn't for that purpose. But what he does tell us is that it's a modeling for us. And we need to be able to follow his plans. And the plans are in place for a very good purpose. So he decided that we work for 6 days and we rest for one. Nowadays in modern times, we don't tend to work for 6 days and rest for one. Because most of us maybe only work 5 days in a week. But we pack like 7 days into that 5 days generally. But it does say that we should have that as a principle, that we need to be thinking of what we mean by resting. When Shannon, I have a lovely wee friend called Shannon. She was on the DY intern. She's not here today. Bless you, Shannon. When she came to live with us, she got a job up here, so she came to live with us sort of towards the middle of the first lockdown. And she kept telling me, Tanya, you've got to get the Sabbath principle. And I kept thinking to myself, what on earth does she mean, you know, the Sabbath principle? And so we had a really big conversation about this, and we talked about what that actually meant. And she was telling me I needed to rest more. She saw me like up really early, bed really late, and working all the hours in between. I'm a teacher, and, you know, nothing ever gets done. You know, you're constantly thinking of the next day and the next lesson and the resources that you've got to build and that sort of thing. So, Alan, could you just pass me a drink, please? So I've got a bit of a dry throat. No, just the water, thank you. See, it's handy having your host be in church, isn't it? And at home, yes, you're quite right, love. Wouldn't be here without my hubby, I have to say. So she was trying to get me to think about what that means for us as a human being. So God has set this thing in place that we work and then we rest and then we work some more and then we rest. And the Bible tells us in Mark that it wasn't for God's purpose that he rested, but it was for ours so that we would learn from that example. And it's not the easiest example to take on board. As a child, I thought Sabbath was a Saturday. And I thought my dad didn't work on a Saturday, but he only worked on a Sunday because he's a minister. So I didn't really think about, you know, how many days does that work? And I grew up with my dad constantly. He drove the church minibus. He often cleaned the church. He was in church really early, turning the heating on. He preached, he led, he did absolutely everything. It was the 70s and that was the way we rolled then. But, you know, and I saw this man, a really godly man, constantly working for the Lord, constantly throwing himself in. So that was my perspective of what you did if you went to church. You got involved in everything. You just did everything you were asked to do and there was no reason to say no. And I realized that when I was talking to Shannon, she was sort of telling me that I needed to learn to say no to some things. And I needed to learn to just rest in him. And so when we're looking at the spiritual aspect of rest shortly, I'll unpack that a little bit more. So what I think we need to look at then is some Bible examples. So I thought about the prophet Elijah. Now, I'm quite a fan of Elijah. I think he's a bit of a one. And I think sometimes I find when you read from the sort of things about him in the Message translation, or not translation, but paraphrase or whatever, it gives you sort of a more modern sort of view on it. So what I'd like to do is just read you something from the Message from 1 Kings 19 verses 4 to 8. So if you want to follow along, that's fine, but you don't have to. So 1 Kings 19, 4 to 8, and I'm going to read it to you. When Elijah saw how things were, he ran for dear life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. He left his young servant there and went on into the desert another day's journey. He came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all. Just to die. Enough of this, God. Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. found that very difficult to say in an English accent. suddenly, an angel shook him awake and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head was a loaf of bread baked in some coals and a jug of water. So he ate the meal and went back to sleep. The angel of God came back, shook him awake again and said, "Get up, eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead of you." So he got up, ate and drank his fill and set out. Nourished by the meal, he walked for 40 days and nights all the way to the mountain of God, to Horeb. When he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. Now, you might think that doesn't really talk that much about rest, but actually it does. What was happening is this poor guy, you know, he's done such good work for the Lord, and he's a really good Bible character. If you've never read anything about Elijah, read them. They're brilliant Bible stories for children as well. But this guy, he was a really renowned prophet. He was so renowned. Everybody in the whole of Israel knew who he was. He was very famous in terms, and that's before Twitter and all that sort of thing. Everybody knew who he was. But even he flagged. And his idea was, just let me die under this broom bush. A broom bush, I've had to look it up, is just a bush that has like a sort of triangle sort of thing at the top, and it looks a bit like a broom upside down, just in case you're not aware of. And he said he just wanted to lie, go to sleep and die, you know. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in that situation a few times in my life. I've been in situations where I'm totally exhausted. I can't explain what's going on. I don't know what to say to people when they ask, "Are you all right?" "Oh, yes, I'm fine," you know. I'm not honest whenever I'm feeling that overwhelmed and that tired. And I really feel that, you know, God told him he needed to rest. But if you realize what he said he needed the nourishment to go along with the rest. And when I'm looking at the Bible and I'm looking at the way we talk about rest, it's always coupled with restoration. So rest and restoration are the two key things. So in this story, way back in the Old Testament, God was telling Elijah he had further to go and he needed that nourishment. But when he got to the nourishment, he was able to carry on for another 40 days. But the really important thing at the end of the story is that he went to the Mount of God in Horeb and he crawled into the cave and went to sleep. So for me, I think that the Bible's sort of telling us that we've got to do it in the right way. We can't just sort of solve this issue if there's other issues over here that need to be resolved. If you were anxious about anything, if we don't resolve those issues, then you might get a little bit of a nap, but you have to be awake because you've got more to do. And when I looked at some of the things that sort of get us to thinking about where we are and thinking about rest, and for most of us, we do think we mean sort of like, you know, chilling, or we do think about having a long sleep or a lie-in on a Saturday morning or whatever. But I think the key thing here is, as Christians, that's all very true, and it's very good. God can bless us through having a really good, restful sleep. But there's more to it than that. And it's more to do with who we are in Christ and who we are in him and why that rest in him is so important and so valuable to us. But it's not something we tend to talk about an awful lot. Quite a few of us will say, "Oh, yes, yes, resting in the Lord. Yes, yes, brother, yes, sister." Of the year, age in the 70s and 80s where everybody was brothers and sisters. And, you know, we'd say, "Oh, yes, amen. God's going to do something good, but I don't want it to be me because I'm so tired," kind of thing. But we've got to get ourselves right, and we've got to get ourselves into that space where we're ready to do work for God. I don't believe that God wanted us to do, like, work on 10 different teams and be like 100% involved in everything that we do, so that when you go home on a Sunday night after church, you just like collapse. I don't think that's glorifying to God. And I don't think it's glorifying for your family to see you like that, or for your friends to see you like that. So we have to make sure that we are nourished alongside with the rest. And that nourishment comes obviously from our relationship with Christ. I was looking up National Health Service corona insomnia, apparently is a thing. And I find out that during the first lockdown, most people were working many more hours than they would have done had they been leaving the house to go to work. And then that impact, the office becomes work, home, home is the office, home is work, and there's no respite from it. And as a result, that's made a lot of people have these anxieties and these worries and these concerns, not just about the coronavirus, but the impact it's having on our children, or the impact it's having on whether or not we can go to work. And all of that has been built up into this thing now where there's been an epidemic. It's actually said on the Guardian newspaper that it's an epidemic of insomnia, which is something, you know, as a Christian, we've got to really take hold of and sort of think, hang on a minute. God, you know, we've got to do something here. And I think if we can sort of look at ways forward and look at the way good characters from the Bible that we've been sort of guided by. And I really believe that if we look again at one of the other Bible characters, Noah. Now, Noah was an old man when he started to build the ark. And, you know, he built that ark for day in, day out, day in, for years and years and years until it was eventually finished. And then what happens? God gives him a holiday. He has a 40-day, 40-night cruise, you know, and he's having that holiday. He had to do maybe a bit of mucking out or got his sons to do that while he prayed and whatever else. But I believe that, you know, he had to do that work for a purpose, and then the purpose happened, and then God allowed him to rest for a while to get ready for the next step. So I thought, yeah, I quite like Noah's, the way Noah was. And when I looked at other people in the Bible, like David, it said at one point in one of the Psalms that God gave him enough rest so he could start running. That's what it says in the Message, of course. And I thought, well, that's really helpful. Yeah, God rested him so he could start running from his enemies. And whether that meant he sort of hid him behind a tree or whatever, I don't know. But in the Psalms, that's what it says. And I thought, oh, that's pretty good, yeah. I feel like running from my boss quite a lot. But, you know, that's sort of like my term of enemy at times. But yeah, there you go. But then I looked at the prophet, looked at the promises that Israel had about going into the promised land. And one of the references to the promised land was that it was a land of rest and peace. And that, I think, is very, very significant and very key to what who we are in Christ. We've got to be thinking about, what does that mean? So when we're looking at things that we can do to help with rest, there's quite a few really helpful things that we can do. So I'm talking about the physical side of rest at the moment. And if you look on the NHS website, and I think it's called Every Mind Matters, it gives you a whole load of things that you can do to aid your sleeping and to help you not have this corona insomnia. And I thought, well, that's really useful. I can read that. So I did. And these are some of the things they told us to do. So one of them was to make sure you turn off your technology at least an hour before going to bed. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I listen quite often when I'm in bed. I will listen to a mindfulness tape. Oh, not tapes, not that old now, you know. But, you know, mindfulness things on my phone, Christian Mindfulness. If you do the Lectio 365 and do the evening devotional, absolutely blesses my socks off, and I think it's a lovely way to go to sleep. But the trouble is, I'm using technology to access it. So although I say, yes, leave your technology downstairs and then go to bed, but we're so reliant on it, aren't we? We're so reliant about, you know, either having a tablet next to us to read a book. If I wake up in the night, I'm often reading on my Kindle or whatever. But and I know it's not healthy, but I do it anyway. But there's lots of ways that we've got to get ourselves thinking about this. So I was thinking, maybe there are some of you that are parents. Maybe you need to set a good example for your children. Leave your phone downstairs. Let them see that you leave your phone downstairs and then go to bed. Set a good example to your family, particularly, you know, all the generation that we have now. They're very technical and everything revolves around technology of some sort. But we've got to set a good example. We've got to be able to support our families and our children. You know, I sometimes get up in the night because I drink a lot of water in bed. And I get up to fill out my water cup, and then I go back, and I see the light on in my daughter's bedroom. And I know she's FaceTiming friends at sometimes 2 a.m. Now, she's an adult, so I can't sort of say that go to sleep kind of thing. But, you know, I think to myself, I mean, although I don't talk to people at that time in the morning, I'm quite often scrolling. I mean, really, I shouldn't be. I need to sleep. So that was the first thing that I thought might be a good example that we can set. So give up technology. Leave it downstairs. Maybe listen to your lectio devotional downstairs and then go to bed. That might be a better way forward. Or maybe we just need to do some more physical resting activities throughout the day. Now, the Bible says we have to work for 6 days and then rest one day. So obviously, if you're a key worker and you're working shifts, lots of our congregation are people that work either in hospitals as doctors and nurses and physios and whatever else. And quite a lot of you are teachers. And that's a very 24/7 type of job as well. We never stop. We're always thinking about the next thing. And it really made me sort of think, well, maybe I need to do more resting activities during the day, so take my mind off work, but doing something purposeful. So Shannon told me about Bible journaling, which I'd never heard of before. I didn't even know what it was about. And so she showed me her Bible journal, and she'd like got all these lovely mindfulness things colored in and pictures on the side and stickers on it. It was such a lovely activity. So I decided to do that because I thought that was a good example that was set by Shannon for me. So I bought myself a Bible journal, and I faithfully try and do at least one picture a week just on a Saturday afternoon when my hubby's is bowling, and I sit there and sit at the table and do some colouring. And I found it really, really blessing. And not only did it help me to rest, but it helped me to rest with the focus on God. And that's the key. And I really believe that's one of the biggest keys that we've got to do, is get it right in terms of our relationship with Him. So what I'd like you to think about really now is this, as that leads us nicely, segued nicely there, into spiritual rest and what we mean by that. So when Alan read the Bible before, he read the J.B. Phillips New Testament version, and it's not a translation, it is a paraphrase, but I'm quite a fan of J.B. Phillips. I think he writes in a really good way that helps me to engage, so I thought we'll take it from there. And in that reading, it said, "Come to me if you're really weary. Give up your burdens to me, and I will give you rest." And it says, and the Bible tells us that whatever ails us, we've got to give it back to God. And we've got to make that. Sometimes it has to be maybe something more meaningful and physical, maybe like putting your phone downstairs, or maybe like spending time praying with friends or whatever. But we've got to do that. Now, whenever I read this as a child, I had this image in my head of like a massive ox and a young ox. And in my mind as a child, I thought that young ox has to work so hard because he's dragging that old fella along. And I was absolutely convinced that it was the young one that was leading the way. And it wasn't until many years later when I understood what the whole perspective of being yoked and unequally yoked in that sense, and what that meant. Because the younger fox had to learn, the younger ox had to learn to walk in step with the older one. And the older one helped, probably dragged them quite a bit of the way to start with until they got the rhythm right and got that sort of thing. And the yoke is a huge thing that's so heavy. But some of the pictures I was looking at about it doesn't actually seem to be sitting on the smaller ox's neck. It just seems to be at the older ox, and it's got like quite a big space in between. And it helped me to rethink then what we mean by that. So, and I believe that God's telling us that, you know, we have to be yoked with Him. And I know it's a bit of an old-fashioned phrase, talking about being yoked, and none of us are farmers, I don't think, so it's a bit more tricky to get our heads around. But if we can think of it in terms of us being walking step by step with Christ, and thinking all the time about how God is going to keep pulling us back when we go off course, how God's going to keep pulling us back when we need that little bit of a boost. Come on, I'm going to take that from me. I'm going to give whatever ails you, give it to me. I'll take it from you. And I really thought the imagery of that was very powerful. And it was very helpful to me to be thinking about God in those sorts of terms. As a sinful people, you know, when sin came in the world, you know, it might have been something that God knew it was going to happen. Of course he did. But God still give us ways out and give us ways of going through that. But one of the problems with sin is that we don't walk in step with God. And we often go off track, whether you're a Christian in terms of, in my day, we called it being saved, or whether you're, you know, just sort of nominal, you come to church because you feel you should or whatever. But we've got to be thinking about what that means. And the Bible tells us that because of sin, God's ordinances were broken. So that's like his laws were broken. And God had to help us find a way through that, through Jesus, his son. And I was thinking that Jesus gave a really good example for us to rest. And if you're somebody that works, you know, like loads and loads of hours a week, and, you know, you sort of just say hello or goodbye to your wife or your children, you don't get a chance to talk to them. But Jesus actually recognized that his disciples needed to rest. After he sent them all out and they were like going from town to town and visiting people and telling people that the Messiah was here and, you know, come to Christ, see who he is, see what he's going to do, see what he's going to say. And eventually they come back to Jesus and that fantastic miracle happens where he's feeding the 5,000 and, you know, with very little really. But after that, Jesus said, you know, hang on, guys. I want you to come away, just yourselves with me. And that phrase, just yourselves with me, is very, very important when we're thinking about spiritual rest. Because that's where we get our strength and our nourishment. We think back to Elijah before. He needed that rest and restoration, you know, physically as well as spiritually. But Jesus recognized it too. While Jesus walked the earth, he had a physical body. He would have felt the demands of constantly being at everybody's beck and call, constantly praying and, you know, doing miracles and all sorts of stuff. But though he's God and he has the tools to deal with it, he set things in place for us to be able to do as well. And I thought that was so important when he said to the disciples, just come away with me, just you yourselves. You don't need anything, just you and me. And that's what he was saying to the disciples. And I really felt that that was a very, very key statement when you read it. I read every translation going, I love the Amplified, and I like how things are worded in different translations and things just to make sure I've really understood. And I felt that that was a really, really important element of spiritual rest. We have to set aside time to be with Christ. And I really believe that if we have that sort of rest in mind, we've got to be thinking, what is that actually is? And in the Bible, it tells us it's a state of mind. A spiritual rest is a state of mind. Now, you might think that sounds a bit weird, but it is. We've got to set ourselves a challenge and think, what are the situations I'm dealing with? What does it tell us in the Bible about rest? It doesn't say rest and relaxation anywhere as far as I could see, but it did say a lot of rest and restoration. And when I was reading Hebrews, there's a whole section that Hebrews is a brilliant book of the Bible to read for Christian life and Christian walking. And there's a whole section in chapters 2 and 3 where it talks about God's rest or his rest. And you know, for me, normally it's the sort of thing that people read at funerals because they think that we're talking about that eternal rest and that sort of like heaven kind of perspective. But I don't think that's what it is necessarily. I do think that's an element to it, don't get me wrong. But I really believe that God has set about for his creation to have rest and that we have that as a state of mind. So if we have our mind fixed on Christ, and we have our head in the right space so that we can commune with God, then that helps us because God is a God to still any chaos. And quite a lot of us probably would admit that at some parts of our life, it's very chaotic. The last 18 months has been a perfect example of that. We've lived in chaos. We don't know from one day to the next whether the children are coming home. Are they going to be isolating? Whether you're going to have a job at the end of the crisis and all that sort of thing. And at the moment, we're living in this like perpetual cycle of chaos. And because of that, we're not really resting enough to hear what God is saying to us. And it's really important that we take that spiritual rest on board, because it is part of God's order. Resting is part of God's ordinances. We are predisposed to needing rest. And that's what he said from all the way through, from Genesis through to Revelation. It says that, you know, we have to follow God's ordinances. There could be classes, rules, which sound a bit rigid, but he gives us the tools we need in order to do that. And I think that we need to be able to think about that. I would like you just to think about the example that you're setting for people. Most of my colleagues know I'm a Christian, although they probably wouldn't class it, and they think I go to the Church of England, and they know I'm a warden. So in their minds, you know, I probably wear some sort of gown and, you know, do something with incense or whatever, you know. But in reality, I've got to follow what God's law is. But I don't often tell people I work with about that, because it's not really appropriate in an educational setting to do that unless somebody asks me to pray for them. And about 2 weeks ago, one of my colleagues just sat down on the chair and burst into tears. She said, "Tanya, I'm just so tired." And she was working, like, she was getting up at 6 in the morning, going to bed at 2 in the morning. She's not sleeping properly in between. She's caring for a relative who's very poorly. Her daughter has issues with her health. And it was just all, like, laid on her. And I was able to say to her, "Look, you know, I believe God can give you rest." And I prayed for her. And she sort of, like, did that on my cheek, like, "Oh, thank you for that. Don't really know what to do with it, but there you go." But I really felt that if I can demonstrate that for her, then maybe that's another way of getting her to accept who Christ is and who he is for our world at the moment. And I think that we need to remember that our lifestyles should be glorifying God. We shouldn't be running around like a mad thing. We shouldn't be like, "Oh, just got to do this. Oh, just got to do that. Oh, just a minute, 5 minutes." And then it's like 15 minutes. "I'm sorry, I'm coming. You know, and we do. It's perfectly okay for that to happen in the short term. But we've got to get it right. And we've got to get it right so that we know when to take a step backwards. And then we take that deep breath and soak in what Jesus has for us. It says in John 13:34 that one of the things that we were told is to love one another. So I don't think that taking on spiritual rest is necessarily a lonely thing. I believe that if we love one another, we should be able to say honestly, if somebody says, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm so tired." Rather than, "Oh, I'm fine, you know me, I'm fine." You know, and we do it because we don't want people to feel awkward by us saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm just not coping with life." You know, but it says that we've got to share each other's burdens, and we've got to be able to talk to each other. We've got to be able to say to somebody, "This is what I need. I really need you to pray for this because this is where I'm at." And I really felt that was a really important thing. And I sort of thought about it in terms of it's a duty of care for fellow Christians to be able to help each other through that love. It might be that, you know, somebody says, you know, "Oh, just haven't had a night away in the last 18 months. The children have been at home all the time. Me and my hubby haven't had any sort of romantic night out or anything." It might be that God just drops in your hand, "Why don't you go and babysit?" And that might be just what that couple need, just to get it right, just to get that little bit of a rest, but together, but having God in the center of it. So in terms of what we need to be able to do, we need to sort of think about this in terms of both the physical and the spiritual. The Bible tells us clearly that we should have a day of rest. doesn't say it has to be like Saturday or Sunday or whatever, because lots of key workers don't. They work, you know, 3 days on, 3 days off and that sort of thing. So it might be that kind of situation that you're in. It might be that you've got to have the physical rest that Elijah needed. So his was, he slept, wake up, eat, sleep a bit more, wake up, eat, sleep a bit more, just wake up and go. And then find that rest at the end, because that's where God ordained it to be, at the end of that long journey where he was going to be close to him. So the mountain of Horeb sort of represents how we think about Jesus in the New Testament, of course, and have that really clear in our heads. It might be that, you know, you don't know where that resting place is. Maybe you haven't got a relationship with Jesus Christ in the way that some of the others in the congregation has. Maybe you don't really get it and you're not really sure what they're talking about. Well, maybe this is your time to get that rest in him. Maybe it's the time for you to say, okay, God, this is part of my life that I'm really rubbish at. I laugh because Rick said that at the start. He's really rubbish at rest, and which I think is probably why he does so well in what he does for a career choice. But, you know, and lots of us could say that and could hold our hands up and say, yeah, I'm really rubbish at rest. And Shannon said to me, Tanya, you're going to have to practice what you're preaching. And I thought, you're right, Shannon, I really will, because I have to get that right. And we're not all perfect. It might be that God's ordained a place for you to find that rest. So, for example, the Israelites' place of peace and of rest was in the promised land. And maybe coming to church is the promised land for you. Maybe coming into a congregation where you can be honest with each other, where you can rest and listen to God and listen to what's being said or sung. That might be what you need. It might be that you just got to stick on a CD or, you know, YouTube with Hillsong or whatever it is, just so that you've got your mind going, focusing in on Christ. And focusing in, okay, so what is God trying to say? And allowing for that time to occur and allowing that time of peace. It might be that we need to really take on board the fact that God is the big ox and that God is the one who's going to help us navigate and walk in that path that he's set for us. And it might be really difficult. It probably is really difficult. None of us have perfect lives. You know, even Gareth and Lizzie in full-time Christian ministry don't have a perfect life, you know, and they probably said quite far from it at times. But, you know, we've got to get this in our head that we have that thing, that we are yoked with the big ox. And I think if we can get that on board for us, then that helps us sort of think, oh, right, I can just relax a little bit because he's got the weight. And that's really key. It might be that you just need to know that you're loved. You just might need to know that there are people in your connect group, which I highly recommend, people in your connect group that you can talk to and be honest with. I was laughing before when I was talking to Chris, and I fell asleep in our house, our connect group this week, which was rather embarrassing because we were supposed to be praying, but what was I doing? Having a snooze. And in a way, I was so embarrassed, but then I thought about it, and we were talking about this before, that to be able to rest with people that love Christ, and nobody thought it was weird, probably I did, but, you know, nobody else thought it was odd. They just went with it and prayed for me with a little bit more focus, and maybe that's what you need. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you all come to church for a snooze, but, you know, maybe we just need to have that feeling of rest where we can just relax and be ourselves and be who God has chosen for us to be. And the most important thing, that verse that I'd like to leave you with, if I can remember where I put it, it says that God never grows tired or weary. Never. So even though we might be tired or weary, that big ox never gets tired or weary. He's still walking with you. He's still leading you in the right way. He's still helping you to move forward. He's still helping you to think about who you are in Christ. I'd like you to really think carefully about your lifestyle. I'd like you to think really carefully about the sort of image that you're giving your family, your friends. I have some members of my family that don't know God in the way that me and my dad and my other sister do. And it pains me, really does pain me. But I know that I've given it to him, and I can't manage that. So that's something I've had to give to the big ox to take on board for me and help it sort of navigate the right time to say things and what kind of things we should be saying and that sort of thing. Maybe that's what you need to be thinking of. Maybe you've got to really, really get close to Christ and think, look, God, I just can't cope. I'm having an awful time at work. I am so tired. I'm so exhausted. And it's okay for you to go to God with those sorts of things, because he told you you could. And he told you he would help you with it. So think very, very carefully about how you are. Think about your family. Think about this corona insomnia and the things that they... Look at the NHS website. It's very good. It gives you lots of really good, helpful things to do to get you at that point of sleep. And it could be that that's all you need. But I would hazard a guess to say that's only the start. The biggest form of rest and rest in him is to have that from Christ Jesus.